Voter suppression has always been a problem in America. It can take many forms, but most recognizable are things like poll taxes and literacy tests. This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, we explore what voter suppression looks like in 2020.
Stirring up confusion, making voting inconvenient, putting obstacles in the voters' path, sharing misinformation with voters.
Who's being most impacted, and why, after a century of expanding access, this is still happening today? Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you get your podcasts.
The presidential campaign is down to the wire one last weekend. Only 3 days left to win hearts, minds, and votes. White House correspondent Yamiche Alcindor has been watching a full day of rallies, and she has this report.
The last Friday before Election Day, and the candidates are trying to make every minute count.
We're doing a lot of traveling. We'll be doing a lot of rallies. We have some big ones.
I don't take anything for granted. We're going to work for every single vote up to the last minute.
Today, the focus was on the Midwest. First up for President Trump was Waterford Township in Michigan.
This is a great group. 4 days from now, we are going to win this state.
The day's schedules then converge with planned stops for both candidates in Wisconsin. It's a state setting single-day records for COVID-19 infections and deaths. In Green Bay, President Trump claimed the crisis would soon be over.
With or without the vaccine, we're rounding the turn, but the vaccine makes it go faster. The vaccines are going to be out very soon, very, very soon. And the truth is, we have done an incredible job with the ventilators, the vaccines, the therapeutics.
In fact, in the last 24 hours, the nation has had its worst day yet, 91,000 new cases. And with more than 9 million total cases, hospitalizations are up 50% this month. Both candidates also scheduled rallies in Minnesota. For President Trump, it's a last-ditch effort to win a state he narrowly lost in 2016. More than 1.5 million ballots in the state have already been accepted. And Minnesotans who still haven't sent in their ballots thought they would be counted so long as they were postmarked by November 3rd and arrived within a week after the election. But last night, a federal appeals court ruled against that grace period, ordering the state to separate those late-arriving ballots. Meanwhile, Biden also campaigned to bring back another Republican-leaning state. Earlier today, he swung by Des Moines, Iowa.
We're going to change the course of the country and, quite frankly, the world. Right here in Iowa with all of you. In the final days, please keep your sense of empowerment. Keep your sense of optimism.
And while the presidential hopefuls targeted the Midwest, the running mates had their eyes set on the Sun Belt. Vice President Mike Pence visited Flagstaff, Arizona.
On November 3rd, we need Arizona to show America that this is Trump country.
And Senator Kamala Harris made the rounds in Texas. The Biden campaign is trying to flip a state that hasn't backed a Democratic presidential candidate since 1976, but polls show the race is close there. One of her stops came in Fort Worth.
Today is the last day of early voting in Texas, and you all have been doing your thing. Now, we know this is no time to let up on the pedal, though.
With more than 9 million ballots already cast, Texas today surpasses total turnout for the 2016 election. In some places, Texans were voting around the clock, literally. Officials in Harris County, the biggest in Texas, opened up all-night polling places last night.
It's very convenient, especially for the people that work at night and have to sleep during the day. So yeah, it's very convenient.
For the candidates and the rest of the country, there are now less than 4 days left to find out what that unprecedented turnout will mean.